Hello, and welcome to the Leicester Mercury Talking Newspaper for Monday the 29th of April, Tuesday the 30th of April, and Wednesday the 1st of May. It is produced by Vista, telephone number 0116 249 8839. Items are selected and read by Isabel Woolley and myself, George Ince, and it is recorded by John Mole. Please remember that this CD is a single-use CD and does not need to be returned to Vista. Sunrise and sunset times for the week commencing Sunday the 5th of May. Sunrise, 5:30 a.m. Sunset, 8:30 p.m. And we begin with a headline from Monday's Mercury. Woman is jailed for stabbing a stranger. A woman who stabbed a stranger three times in the back as he walked along the street has been jailed for 4 years. Teresa Lavin, 49, of Rectory Road, Markfield, knifed the 68-year-old, whom she did not know, while he was in Main Street in the village on his way home from the pub. Cheryl Williams, prosecuting at Peterborough Crown Court, said, "The man was walking down the street when what felt like a punch hit him on the back. He told police, 'I ran off, but she chased me. I felt a sudden, sharp stabbing pain in my back. I looked behind to see her behind me. I realised I wasn't going to be able to outrun her. As I faced her, I could see she had a knife in her right hand. I managed to pull her to the floor and grab the knife.' Miss Williams said as the man grabbed the knife, he said, 'You nutter.' And Lavin replied, 'I am a nutter.' The man needed 11 stitches after the kitchen knife caused a wound 2 inches deep. Lavin then fled the scene, but a witness found her wallet at the scene and she was arrested at her home later that night on the 15th of January. The court heard that when police arrived at her home, she said, 'I know I stabbed him and don't even know who he is. I just went to the shop and did it.' As she was arrested, she headbutted a female police officer. In mitigation, the court heard how Lavin had suffered from alcohol problems and mental health difficulties, and this was a cry for help. She pleaded guilty to wounding with intent and battery. Sentencing Judge Nick Madge said, "I have to consider the issue of dangerousness. Is there a significant risk to members of the public of serious harm occasioned by the commission by you of further specified offences? I have to bear in mind that serious harm includes serious personal injury, whether physical or psychological. The author of the pre-sentence report and the psychiatrist consider you pose such a risk. I conclude there is a significant risk of further specified offences. It is necessary that I pass an extended sentence to provide adequate protection for the public." Lavin was given a sentence of 4 years for wounding, with 2 months concurrent for battery. Judge Madge also added an extended licence period of 3 years when she was released.
£1.5 million aim for tourist hotspot. The National Trust has submitted its plans for a £1.5 million visitor attraction near Markfield to the Borough Council. Planning officers at Charnwood will decide whether or not to grant permission to the organisation, which wants to transform the 19th century Stonywell Cottage into a tourist hotspot. It hopes to convert stables at the site into an office, tea rooms and toilet, build a 60-space car park and restore other degraded parts of the Grade 2 listed cottage. A public consultation is now open and will run until May the 14th. A residents' meeting is also taking place at Newtown Linford Village Hall at 7 p.m. tonight for people to discuss the proposals. Steve Parry, chairman of Elverscrot Residents' Committee, said, "There's nothing surprising in the plans. It's exactly what we were expecting. It's a very emotive subject for people here and we're expecting a lot of people at the meeting." Mr. Perry is one of more than 170 who have signed an online petition concerned about the level of extra traffic expected to be generated by the attraction. The National Trust estimated the site would attract about 75 cars a day during peak times, which it said would be 20 to 30 days a year. Mr. Perry said the most contentious issue is the car park and the shuttle bus, which will encourage hundreds of visitors on to the roads, and we will continue our efforts to make sure they don't get their way. The National Trust has said it is aware of the concerns surrounding the scheme. The cottage will also have some cosmetic repairs, decoration and rewiring before it opens to the public, possibly in 2014. Plans are to employ one full-time and 8 part-time members of staff. A spokeswoman for the organisation said, "The Trust is very aware of the potential impact that opening Stony Well to the public may have. From the outset, we have tried to keep residents informed of our plans, listening to views and concerns, and addressing these as far as reasonably possible. This included the opportunity for residents to attend a series of drop-in sessions in January and February 2013 to learn more about our plans for Stony Well. Our aim is to maintain the tranquil setting of Stony Well while also allowing access on a limited level to those who wish to visit this special place. To view the plans, visit the Charnwood Borough Council website and search its planning page for P/13/0607/2.
You can't have foot in both camps, Deputy Mayor told. Leicester's Deputy Mayor should stand down to focus on his campaign to become a member of the European Parliament, according to a former City Council leader. Councillor Rory Palmer announced earlier this month he would be one of Labour's 5 candidates for the East Midlands seat when the election is held in May 2014. Councillor Palmer has said he intends to remain in his £50,000 a year mayoral post until election day, though opposition councillors have warned he will be unable to fight a serious campaign and carry on his city duties. Now, Labour colleague Councillor Ross Wilmot has said Councillor Palmer should resign in the run-up to the election. Councillor Wilmot took that step in 2010 when he stepped down from his position as council leader to focus on his ultimately unsuccessful bid to become North West Leicestershire MP. He said, "I carried on being a council leader and then I stood down. I would expect the Labour group to say the same thing should happen with Rory. I think the choice is already made. As the campaign builds, you can't have a foot in both camps. Now would not be the time, but the time will come. Experience suggests to me you can't hedge your bets. You make your choice when you decide you want to be an MP or an MEP. You have to demonstrate you are serious about your campaign and people don't respect you if you say, 'I'll keep this job in case the other one doesn't work out.' It's playing fast and loose with the electorate. This is not about Rory. The same would apply whoever is in that position." Councillor Palmer, who represents the city's Ayres Monsell ward, said at this point he had no intention of giving up his deputy mayor's post. He said, "The situations are not necessarily comparable. Ross contested the North West Leicestershire seat, which was a different area to the city. The constituency I am contesting includes Leicester, and I am raising the same issues in my European campaign that I am working on every day here. Of course, questions can be asked about my capability. I am mindful I have a serious job to do here in Leicester, and if I feel I need to move to do more campaigning, then I will have that discussion with Peter Soulsby and colleagues." If Councillor Palmer is elected to the Brussels job, he would have to quit the Deputy Mayor's job.
Strays causing crisis at kennels. More people are getting rid of their pet dogs by reporting them as strays to dog wardens. The abandoned pets have caused a surge in the number of dogs handed in at the kennels used by Blaby District Council dog wardens. Michelle Aikin, senior dog warden, said the kennels were reaching crisis point due to the problem. She said, "We seem to be receiving a lot of calls from people who have apparently found dogs, which turn out to be their own pets. Obviously, with this situation, the dog isn't going to be claimed, as genuine strays would be. This is putting tremendous pressure on kennel space." The Blaby wardens recently collected a 10-year-old dog who was handed into a rescue centre after the person had found him outside. They discovered the owner of the dog has made a number of phone calls that day trying to get rid of the dog and believe the finder was actually a friend of the owner. Michelle said, "People abandoning pets in this way is putting a lot of pressure on resources that are intentioned for genuine stray animals. Dogs that come in as strays are much more difficult to rehome than a pet handed in at a rescue with a history. By trying to get rid of their animals this way, they're actually putting their pets at a much greater risk of being destroyed than if they rehome them responsibly. What people are prepared to put their animals through never fails to amaze me. It's very sad. The same problem is being felt at Willow Tree Kennels in Barrow-upon-Soar, which rehomes dogs collected in Leicester. Owner Mick Watts said, "I think we have the same situation as Leicester. People are getting their own dogs picked up by the dog wardens because they can't afford to keep them. Since December, only about 30% of stray dogs are being reclaimed by their owners, and the rest are not wanted. A year ago, it would be more like 50%. Simon Ellis, who runs the stray dogs operation at College Garth Kennels at Hatherne, is responsible for a growing number of abandoned strays collected by dog wardens in Melton, Charnwood and northwest Leicestershire. He said, "We're getting an average of 29 stray dogs a week, and that number is rising. About 70% are abandoned, and it's getting worse because of the economy. People can't afford to keep them. It's vet bills as well as food. We have room for 104 dogs, and if they're not rehomed within 60 days, we have to put them down. For more information about dogs needing homes in Blaby District, visit www.blaby.gov.uk/dogs.
Holiday happiness for mum after operation. A mum is planning a trip to Disneyland with her daughter to mark the first anniversary of a life-saving operation. This time last year, Amy Baker was in Papworth Hospital in Cambridgeshire, recovering from a double lung transplant. The 26-year-old, who was born with cystic fibrosis, had been waiting for more than 2 years for the operation. Amy, from Thorpe Astley, now has to take a cocktail of drugs each day, but it is a far cry from having to have extra oxygen 24 hours a day. She said, "There have been ups and downs during the year. It was quite scary coming home from hospital, and it was a little difficult adjusting to all the medication. I have to take what seems about 100 tablets a day, including antibiotics and anti-rejection drugs, to keep everything going, but it is just part of my life now. It was also difficult to maintain how much I did. I would go shopping and then feel awful. I've had to learn not to overdo it. Now I am going to the gym 3 times a week, and it's nice to be able just to do things randomly. Before the operation, I couldn't plan anything because I never knew how I was going to be feeling. Another big change was how quiet the house was because there was no longer the noise of the oxygen supply which I relied on." One of the things she is also looking forward to is to see her daughter Bella Baker Eames, 4, start school in September. Amy, who feared this was a dream too far, said, "We are going to buy her school uniform, but before that, in a few weeks, we are going to Disneyland Paris to mark the first anniversary of my transplant. It's so nice being able to do all sorts of different things with Bella." Amy was able to lead a relatively normal life until she caught pneumonia when she was 10. She was in and out of hospital with constant infections, and in 2009, doctors said her lungs were so damaged she would need a transplant to survive. There were 3 false alarms when the transplant had to be called off because of problems with the donor organs. The 4th call came in the early hours of April 27th last year. Amy said, "I was lucky. I had been in hospital with a temperature, but had just recovered when the call came. I was in intensive care for 2 days after the operation, but on the 3rd day I managed to sit up, and by the 5th I was on the gym bike. I knew if I didn't get moving, it would be harder in the long run." She has also written a thank you to be passed to the donor's family. Amy said, "I wrote at Christmas, but I haven't heard anything back yet."